Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
All along the watchtower, presents kept the view.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter if you haven't done that yet. And if you have, and those of you who have written me the notes, the nice notes this week about my holiday message, it's about the Confessions of a Reluctant Scrooge, ladies and gentlemen. If you subscribe this week, you still have time to get that. But those of you who have written about that, I appreciate that very much. Mr. Max Elescu is with us. He is Chief Executive Officer of a company called LSQ Funding. And we're going to talk about some other ways to fund the growth of your business. Max, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Max, in the previous hour, we talked with our good friend Beverly Imanibal about growing pains in a business.
Sure.
And one of the things she identified was the fact that she actually was reluctantly going to go to the bank and borrow money to capitalize this growth that she wants to have.
Right.
And, you know, I have said many times before, as often as I can, because I think it's important to say, and that is that it's redundant to say undercapitalized small business.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
It's not necessary. Just say small business and that covers it.
Right.
Because we don't have access to the capital markets that our big business cousins have. We have access to capital typically in three primary ways. One is our direct investment. The other is the capital, the profits, I should say, that we leave in the business in the form of retained earnings. And the other is typically debt, typically bank debt. Those are the three main areas, but there actually is a fourth, which is a little bit of a tangent of what I just said, and that's something that your company is involved in, that's factoring.
That's correct.
All right. Now tell us how factoring fits into our growing pains.
Well, in its simplest terms, factoring is the purchase of your receivables. Most small businesses that sell to other companies on terms, on credit terms, and that's where factoring applies, ultimately run into a cash flow problem because they have to pay their employees and they have to pay their suppliers every week. But those receivables are turning in 30 or 45 or 50 days, and at some point, you run out of the equity that you put into the company, and you may run out of the credit card availability that you put into the company, your line one equity. And at that point, you have to stop growing because you just can't turn those receivables into cash. You might see profits on the bottom line, but there's no cash in the bank. And I'm sure many of the small business owners who are listening have experienced that problem.
One of the biggest mistakes that small business owners make is not understanding the difference between cash and accounting.
That's right.
And the other thing that they do is they don't understand the relationship between accounts payable days and accounts receivable days. They don't understand the difference. They don't understand if their accounts payable days are 28 and their accounts receivable days are 37, well, they've got 9 days every month that they don't have any cash.
That's correct. And it's not even just accounts payable days, Jim. There are companies that we do a lot of business with that are temporary staffing agencies, for instance. And sometimes they have demands from their customers to supply additional labor, and they have to pay those laborers weekly.
Right.
But they can only bill monthly. So they're only allowed to bill at the end of the month, and then they have to bill on 30 or 45-day terms. And in that time frame, they may have paid their people four or five or six times before they generate any cash. And it may be a profitable invoice, maybe a profitable relationship with that customer. But at the end of the day, if they don't have the cash flow to pay those people, they have to forego that opportunity.
That's exactly right. But you know, the thing is, Max, even people who budget the payroll expense – still lose sight of the fact that if you're operating your business on an even keel, you're not really growing. And you figured out how to make enough money to pay your operating expenses, and then all of a sudden you say, okay, I want to grow my business in 2005 by 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what, but when the primary difference there in that 10% growth is inventory and receivables.
Correct.
And that's when you get upside down with your AR and your AP days. And so there, our challenge, it seems to me, ladies and gentlemen, is to we're the ones who are challenged with finding that capital. And does that mean we go to the bank? Does that mean we take less of a bonus ourselves and fund the growth with part of our own, you know, with our retained earnings? Or do we do other things like factoring? Tell us how factoring works.
Well, quite simply, what happens is our clients generate invoices and they turn them over to us. They mail the original to their customer and they fax us a copy of those invoices. And normally within 24 hours of our receiving that invoice, we turn that into cash for our clients. So we bridge the cash flow gap between when they invoice and when they otherwise would have collected. So if they normally collect in 45 or 50 days and their payables are due in 30, we turn that 50-day invoice into a two-day invoice.
Right.
Giving them the cash that they need to pay their bills, take advantage of trade discounts, buy more inventory, pay their people. So we totally eliminate that cash flow gap.
But should factoring be a way of life, or should it just be a means to a temporary end?
Well,
a temporary means to an end, I should say.
Sure. Our clients that use us fall into a couple of categories. We have clients that are growing, and they are eligible for traditional bank line of credit, but it's just not enough to support their growth.
Mm-hmm.
They have a $200,000 line of credit or $100,000 or $500,000, but their company's growing at 20% a year, and it's just not going to grow fast enough.
Well,
with them.
And a lot of small businesses deal with independent community banks, which I mm-hmm. which I recommend that they do.
Sure.
But a lot, most, the smaller the bank, the less likely they are to be comfortable with or to have the mechanics to manage what's called asset-based lending.
That's right.
And that's what a factoring company is, that's what you do.
Right, that's right. And in my experience, if you're a small business and your need is less than $1 million, which is a pretty big line of credit,
yeah,
even the larger banks don't really have a strong appetite for an asset-based line of credit. Most large banks have gone to credit scoring,
right,
to make their lending more efficient,
mm-hmm.
and they're just not interested in an asset-based line of credit.
Max,
$1 million.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Max Ilescu, ladies and gentlemen, is with us. He's with LSQ Funding. When we come back, I'm going to ask Max how we justify the cost of the factoring approach to funding our growth. And that's coming up right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Maxwell Ilescu is with us. He's Chief Executive Officer of LSQ Funding, and they're a factoring company. And we've been talking about some of the issues of capitalizing the growth of our small businesses, Max. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is help us understand the expense of factoring. Now, when we go to, we know now when we go to a bank, if they make us a $25,000 loan or a $2,500 loan, we small businesses are used to paying a premium.
Yes.
I call it living in the world of Prime Plus.
Right.
Whatever Prime is, we're going to pay. Prime is usually 3 points over the Fed's discount rate, and then we're going to pay. We're in the world of Prime Plus One, Prime Plus Two, Prime Plus Three, maybe Prime Plus Four or Five, depending on. On who we are, what our balance sheet looks like, our relationship with the bank, how long we've been in business, et cetera, et cetera. So we're used to paying a premium, but factoring is also a premium expense, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's the charge is very different than what you see at a bank. And in a factoring world, we are at the lower end of the marketplace from a cost perspective. And our cost is typically going to be somewhere between 2 and 3% of the invoice amount rather than a prime plus charge. But
that rate is on an annual basis.
That rate is
annual
on
annual rate, and yours is based on the transaction.
The transaction,
2 or 3% of that transaction.
Correct.
So that works out to be, if the transaction is in a month's time, once a month,
sure,
that works out to be 24 to 36%.
It could be if we were providing nothing but financing, that
right,
that may be how you look at it.
And, but you really can't if you're thinking about funding, can you?
Well, we don't think so. I mean, most of our clients use this because they simply can't obtain adequate financing from other sources, and their lack of financing, or Jim, more accurately, their inadequate cash flow is causing problems for the business. It may
right
be that they're stretched with their suppliers and can't purchase the inventory they need to support their sales, or they simply might not be able to hire additional employees needed to fulfill an order. Anyway, you look at it, many, if not all, small business owners listening right now have probably been in a situation where their cash flow was hampering their ability to be successful. And in many cases, they may have experienced the oddity of showing profits that we talked about before, but not having any cash in the bank. We eliminate that problem. And since most small businesses have net margins greater than 2.5%, and in fact, most have net margins greater than 10%,
mm-hmm,
using our services helps net them more profit and cash flow. Additionally, because the cash flow we help create, they are generally able to take advantage of trade discounts offered by their suppliers,
right,
which typically run 2%, almost completely offsetting our costs. And finally, we do much more than provide financing. We completely assume all administrative functions associated with administering
right
the collection of their invoices and the credit approval and monitoring of their sales.
You got to take that into consideration, don't you? That's got to be part of the equation.
Jim, I'm not sure if your audience, I'm assuming your audience is much like our client base, since our client base
are
small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when we were a new company, much like our organization, everyone here wore many, many hats.
Right.
We now have become much larger and have begun to be able to specialize. But most small businesses, every single employee in that company is doing lots of different things. And unfortunately, in most cases, they can't dedicate the amount of time they want to the thing that they really are best at because they just have too many other responsibilities. And in making collection phone calls and trying to decide how much credit they ought to give to
right
their customers is not something that most small businesses are equipped to do at the same level that they are in
right
making their product or delivering their service. And so it's a good opportunity to outsource those tasks to us. We are experts at managing receivables. We're not a collection agency. We are no different than a Fortune 500 company's internal receivable department. We manage receivables. We know when to make phone calls when somebody's getting a little bit slow. We analyze credit risks. We help prevent our clients from experiencing bad debts by helping make sure that they sell to companies who have an ability to pay them back. And normally, when a client comes to us, their receivables are turning in 45 to 55 days, sometimes less, that we normally see a 5 to 10-day increase in speed with which our customers collect their receivables
mm-hmm
because of our activities.
Do you contact the customer directly?
We do. We manage
yeah
that
entire
process.
So that's another thing, folks, to think about. You have to make sure that whoever you go with in factoring, if you allow them to, if they do, in fact, touch your customers, you got to feel like you got to believe that you've got a company that will manage, will help you shepherd that relationship, so that they don't do anything to run the customer off. Folks, I really encourage you to consider factoring. It's not for everybody. It is for some people. I've seen it work great, and there are lots of factoring companies out there, but the LSQ folks have come to me from some friends of mine that are doing business with them. And so I do recommend that you start with them if you haven't already and use them, if nothing else, as a way of identifying how a factoring company would work and then make your final decision. Max, I'd like for you to give us your website, please.
www.lsqgroup.com. Three
All
letters,
right.
lsqgroup.com.
How about a phone number?
407-515-6700 is our direct line to our sales staff.
LSQgroup.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Max, will you come back another day and talk to us some more about factoring?
My pleasure.
We'd love to have you back. Thank you very much. Have a happy holiday.
Thank you, Jim.
Max LSQ, ladies and gentlemen, with LSQ Funding. That's LSQgroup.com. Factormarkets.com. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Karen Kerrigan. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.